if you look in the back of your chimes, we have the minister's office hours. There's a women's Bible study at Jane's house. I was going to say, can you hear me?
Can't hear.
No.
Good morning. Good morning. Is that better? There we go. All right. Well, still, it's a good morning. Before we begin, we have some announcements to make. On the back of your chimes, you'll see the minister's office hours. Monday, there's a women's Bible study meeting at James Sandusky's house. Also, what? Oh, it's a Christmas party. Ooh, that makes it even better. What time, Jane?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, for those of you that are involved in that. 6 o'clock at Jane's on Monday. Wednesday is Christian Kids Club. Couldn't get that out there. And Thursday, 6:30, is choir rehearsal. There will be no work day on Tuesday this week. And there is junior church rehearsal today after church. The senior youth group will meet today from 12 to 2. We've got all kinds of things going on today. Wow. Okay, also, let's don't forget to send a birthday card to Harry McDowell. Remember, his 90th birthday is on the 18th, and I'm sure he would appreciate the cards. We all appreciate cards, even if it's not our 90th birthday, but to be 90 years old and have all those cards, I think would be amazing. I think it's amazing that he's still with us at 90 years old. His address is in the chimes. Also, if you look at the papers inside your chimes, we have several there. Today, or tonight, from 5 to 7, is the Christmas party, the family Christmas party. So please put that on your calendars, and there'll be carols and a pajana, and maybe a special visit from a special guy. So you might want to mark that for today. Also, next week will be our annual Christmas tasting party. It's where we bring our favorite hors d'oeuvres and appetizers, and that's the best thing ever. Okay, and if you see, please note that team members, you'll need to contact, I think it's my mom, to get your list of people to call. And that'll be next Sunday, so please mark your calendar to hang with us after church, because it'll be a lot of fun. Reverend Chris has an announcement.
Good morning. I do want to draw your attention to, I'm going to say the insert, one of the insert with the candle in your bulletin. And our annual Carols by Candlelight service will be this Wednesday at 7. Service runs about an hour, and it is, I think, a very beautiful time and a time of peace and contemplation. It is a service where we have a reading, a scripture, or a poem, and we follow it by a hymn and a prayer, and that's how it runs through the entire evening. And the sanctuary will have all the decorations you have here, plus a whole lot more candles that I'll be setting up on Wednesday. So, as nice as the sanctuary looks now, it's going to look even nicer. I hope that you'll be able to come out for that. As always, we're in need of readings, and I have most of them that I need. If I still need some, I'm going to start calling you, or you can just let me know. If you need me, you just say that to me after church, and I'll call you if I need you. But so far, it looks like we got a good bit of readers lined up. So I hope that you'll come. Give yourself a present, because I know that you're all so busy, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I don't have time for something like this. But really, you don't have time not to. If you come and you spend some time with God in this season, you find that you have more time when you're done, I think. You'd be more prepared for the season. Thank you.
Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 3, number 119. O come, Emmanuel.
O
come before God, who has heard our cry and has reached down to us in the form of a child, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. In this season of gift giving, we pause to thank you for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. At a great cost, he has provided pardon, peace, and purpose, to say nothing of the material blessings we enjoy. Accept us, we pray, as we gather to say thank you for all we have received. And as we pray to you, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Advent candle. In some ways, Advent is such an unusual season. The stores play Christmas music after Halloween, but in church, we try to hold off until Christmas. We read John the Baptist telling us to make ourselves ready, but culture tells us to make sure we prepare enough gifts. How can Advent be a season of joy when we are called to weeks of reflection and repentance? Let us pray together. God of repentance and joy, help us to put the focus of the season fully on preparing our hearts for the coming of our Savior. When we have to choose between the preparations of our faith and the trappings of our culture, guide our choices. We know the joy of following Christ and the fresh experience of that joy that we celebrate at Christmas. But we need help in bringing faithful to the Advent journey. Amen. We light these three candles to light the way into our Advent journey. Community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Let us remember that giving is not an entirely selfless act, for when we give, we also receive. Our offertory hymn this morning is in the Chalice Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4, number 153, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Thank you. as we give, we also receive. We receive joy. We receive a sense of fulfillment, and we receive the satisfaction of knowing that we have contributed to the world's greatest cause. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading is in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. That's the Old Testament, and page 61 in your pew Bibles. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. And all who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my Lord. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Our anthem this morning is by the Sanctuary Choir, Carol for Advent.
Amid the winter's cold embrace, clothed in a shroud of white, an anxious world in silence waits through the dark night. And of course we are waiting birth of the Christ child. When Christ entered the world, he came to a place that had some of the most uncomfortable conditions. But that's part of the wonder of divine grace. When the Son of God came down from heaven, he came all the way down. He did not hang on to his equality with God. Rather, he set it aside and completely humbled himself. You're going to hear some of those words in our anthem this morning.
Oh,
Welcome to the Christian Church as we gather this third Sunday of Advent. Our decorations get closer to being done, if not already done. The lights are up, and we wait. We continue to wait. So close, and yet so far. If you have children in your house, I'm sure they are going crazy. I'm sure that means that you're going crazy. I hope that you are able to wait out these next 2 weeks in peace and with hope, as we wait the coming of the Christ child into our world and in our lives, as we celebrate the gift that God has given us and will give again and gives us every day. We do rejoice over the gifts that God has given us. There has been much to celebrate. We do celebrate Harry McDowell on his 90th birthday. We know that he will probably not be with us this coming week, as he has not been able to worship with us for a while. And so we celebrate now and celebrate with him in spirit and celebrate with him in cards and messages. We lift up into thanksgiving those who have celebrated new life and joy, those who have celebrated forgiveness and have been able to forgive others, those who have been able to receive the light of Christ in their lives. We share the good news of Christ who has come into the world and into our hearts, just as others have shared it with us. As we gather this morning, we want to celebrate also that our theme, our lesson for Sunday school today was Make a Joyful Noise, and we have been making a joyful noise lately. On Friday, we had our coffee house, and a joyful noise was made by many people, including many of our church members. Today, Madison will be playing for us during our communion time a song that she has chosen. Next week, our kids club choir will sing. Our junior choir will sing. Armando will sing. It will be a wonderful time. And in between, we will have a service of songs and carols. And our choir always gives us a wonderful, wonderful music to celebrate with. We have a great deal to be happy about, a great deal to rejoice over. So let us lift up our joys right now. What do we have to give thanks for? What gifts have we been given so far this Christmas season? Roxanne? rejoice with you. How long is he home for? That's great. Welcome Shawn Michael back. Hope to see him, and thank you for sharing that with us. What other joys do we have?
Reasonably good health.
I love how the nurse puts the reasonably there. Because she knows. Thank you for sharing that, Cheryl.
And as always, our family, our friends, celebrating this season.
I also rejoice at the church beyond the walls. As a small church, we offer the Sunday morning service, and sometimes people work, I know, and aren't able to get here, but it's amazing. You think our church is the biggest church in the world, because I run into you all the time. I run into Haley Yotsi at Sheets. I get honked at all the time. I run into Jerry McGinley. It seems like he's never in Connellsville, but when he is, I run into him somewhere. And I know there are people who are not always able to be with us, but whenever I see them, they have such good things to say, and we know that we will see them occasionally, and maybe we'll see them at Christmas Eve. We rejoice in all the ways in which our church touches people, not just on Sunday morning, and how big our congregation really is out in the world and out in the city. Let us continue to share joys. Let's also share concerns and worries that we have, or things we want to lift up to God. Wanda?
Bill's granddaughter, Kelly Dusham, is in a hospital in New York with a severe lung infection as a result of pneumonia, and this is the 11th day of an induced coma.
We'll pray for her, Kelly, and she's in New York.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll pray for her. Thank you. Are there others? Jane? For Lana's family and for Jamie in particular. Thank you. Benny. All right. We give thanks that your mother gets to go to the Garth Brooks concert in February. All right. That's an early Christmas present. We rejoice over that. Thank you. Are there any others? Seeing none? Let us take a moment of silence as we pray to go to the Lord in prayer. Most merciful God, we come together in this time and this place and confess that as Christmas approaches again, after 2,000 years, we still don't know quite what we're looking for. We've made our list. We know what we want from the stores, but what we want from you sometimes gets confused. We have heard John's fervent cry in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." But we're unsure what you want us to do. Our lives have continued on much as they were before. We've not listened to your heralds, not lived as we've truly believed. Forgive us, Holy One. Help us hear anew the cry of those who lead us in the ways of life. Tune our ears to your heralds, your angels, your messengers, that we might testify to your light. Help us to help those that you send before us in need. Help us to share your light with all those who long for it, those who sit in darkness. We commiserate, we pray with, we mourn with those who are in loss, who are missing a loved one at this time of year especially, who are not feeling the Spirit as others are, who are not cheered by the tinsel or the lights. May your Spirit, the true gift and meaning of this season, be given to them, and help us to see any way in which we may unwrap that present for them, through kindness, through words, through actions. Help us to know, to help to show others that God is with them. Lord, we in particular lift up the family of Lana as she has passed away. We pray especially for Jamie as she is in mourning and in loss. that she may see your light even in this dark time, that she may rest in your presence, be healed, be recovered, to mourn the loss of Lana and to pick up the pieces to enjoy life again. For Kelly, we pray as she is in the hospital and is in a coma, we pray that for her healing, her recovery, her renewal, we pray for a Christmas miracle. We know that she is with you. We pray that her spirit is well, but we pray especially for her body, her physical well-being. Lord, we also give you thanks. You have blessed us with so much. We have gifts to come, but the gifts have already begun. And we give you thanks for the gifts of all the ministries we have in our church, and we ask your blessing upon all those that are come, for our party and our services, for our singing and our readings. We pray that your spirit will be with us, always at the center of everything that we do. For our Bible study, we give you thanks for Jane's leadership and for all the participation and all that they have done together and learned, grown closer to you. For our Sunday schools and our youth programs, our kids' club, we give you thanks for all that is being taught and learned and all the lives that are being touched. For the lives of our congregation near and far, scattered as we often are, even in our own city, still, each one of us is a light to the world. Help us to continue to shine that light that others may be warmed or have their path lit through your good word and grace. For a child who has come home, who's not been seen for a while, we give thanks for Sean Michael and his surprise early return. For those who are giving the gift of music or using their gifts in any way, we give you thanks. We pray those things, Lord, as your church, as your people, as the body of Christ called together in this time and place to worship you, who is timeless, who is eternal, and who is in all places, and who calls us forth to be not just the church in these walls, but throughout the world, to be lights not hidden under a bushel, but sit upon a hill, that all may see and know and be drawn to it, that they may want the light for themselves. And that in doing so, each one become a light, one after another, like a string of lights on a tree, to light up the world. Send your light to us this day, Lord. Help us to reflect it, to share it, and to keep it. In your name we pray. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Hello, everybody. Come on down. Seats. How are you today?
Are you excited for Christmas?
Yeah.
That's a real answer. Come on, Lily. Come on. Come on, Ellie. Now, one of the things I like the best about Christmas are the lights. Do you guys like the Christmas lights? Do you have some at your house yet? Let's make some room. I have to move this Bible. Is that yours? Okay, you scoot down. And then you can either scoot down for Ellie or you can sit there. Okay, you're going to scoot down. And then you sit right there between Lily and Owen. All right. I love the lights too. We have a lot of lights at our house. And I really enjoy it. In fact, it doesn't feel like Christmas to me until the lights are up and ready to go. That's really the first thing I do, is I get the Christmas lights up. Before Thanksgiving. I don't turn them on until after Thanksgiving, but they're ready to go. Because that really is a spirit for me. And what I like about the lights is that they're colorful and they're bright, but also that it's dark outside and they make the winter look fun, don't they? Do you drive around and just see the Christmas lights everywhere? And you like stop and you ever see a house that's so lit up you just have to stop and look at it? It's really beautiful, isn't it? And it's like, all these people are doing that for you. You know, that's really nice. But here's the other thing. Did you know that the thing with lights, the darker it gets, the brighter the lights get? Did you know that? Do you believe that? Do you want to test that? Do you look at that Christmas tree? Is that Christmas tree pretty bright?
Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 55, and that is found in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 57. Here begins the reading. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Amen. As Christmas approaches, we await the birth of the Christ child. And everything seems so orderly and neat. On December 25th, we will sing Joy to the World, and the Christ child comes into our nativity, and we open our presents either that night or the next day, depending on your tradition. And it is back to the same old on the 26th. But if we reread the Christmas story, and we always should, we know that it is not that simple, and it never was. 2 years ago, my cousin was preparing to give birth to her first child, and she was not due to give birth until the middle or the end of January. But he came right before Christmas, about 3 days before Christmas. Now, she is older than Mary was, and she is married, and she has a job, and she has a home, and she did intend to have a child, and you can bet that her life was still thrown into a great turmoil, and it has been every Christmas since. You can never be completely ready for the coming of a child, and you can never know what all is coming. It is ironic, then, that they call it expecting, because whereas we are all reasonably expecting Christmas to be on December 25th, the only thing an expectant mother can expect is that one day, and who knows what day, there will be a baby. And when there is, there will be joy. There will also be pain and confusion, and chaos and noise, but mostly there will be joy. Likewise, 4 years ago, a college friend of mine finally got the call that she and her husband had been waiting years for when the adoption agency called to tell them that a baby was available for them to adopt. And they had gone through the process, and they were called a year before that to ask if they wanted to adopt a baby girl who had just been born, but it actually took a year for the whole thing to be finalized, and finally, just before Christmas, they met their one-year-old child for the very first time. And you could bet that they were about as ready as they could be. Their nursery was painted and decorated. They were stocked up in diapers and wipes and cloths. You could also bet that they were really not ready. For a great deal came their way in the next year, but two things that they could expect was chaos and joy, and plenty of it. Can't be fully prepared for a baby no matter what you do. And unlike those two people, Mary was not looking to have a child, at least not at that point. And she was very young. We can estimate somewhere around 13 or 14. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that. But back then, that's about when women became betrothed for marriage, as she was to Joseph. So when Gabriel came to her door, he brought with him a great deal of chaos, and not necessarily joy. For Mary was told by Gabriel that she would give birth to the Savior, and you wonder if she believed all of it, would you? It did say that she was perplexed. She said, how can this be? Eventually, she did say, let it be with me according to your word. But maybe that's just what you say when an angel comes and you need him to leave right now, to get him to stop saying these crazy things that he is saying. Mary goes afterwards to see her cousin Elizabeth, perhaps to try and figure out what has been said to her doesn't give us any indication that she said anything to anyone about what she had heard and seen. She goes to see Elizabeth. And unknowns to her, Elizabeth was pregnant. And because of her age, her pregnancy was also remarkable. Again, a chaotic thing thrown into an ordinary life. As Mary approached the house, Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy." And it's interesting to me that after hearing this, Mary burst into a song of joy. When the angel came to her door, she was perplexed. She was afraid. Eventually, she came to some type of obedience, but there wasn't any joy when the angel was there. But after hearing this, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And then she goes on to give a speech that I've just read for you, which we call the Magnificat. Mary's speech, the Magnificat, it comes from the Latin word from magnify. That's the first thing she says. "My soul magnifies the Lord." It's one of those things in the category of something in the Bible I thought I knew already, but didn't. See, that's why we need to continue to read the story, because we've heard it 1,000 times, we take it for granted, but there are details that we miss from time to time. I had thought that Mary gives the Magnificat after Gabriel comes to her door. I thought she said it right in his presence, but she doesn't. Why did she not say this when the angel was there? Elizabeth told her nothing new. She basically repeated what the angel had already said. But perhaps, in seeing that Elizabeth was pregnant, as Gabriel had told her, and hearing that Elizabeth and her child recognized Mary and acknowledged her as the mother of her Lord, made it real to her, and she was overcome with the joy that this child would bring. Now, up until now, we've been told that he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is pretty good stuff. But Mary gives us more details about what he will do and what his birth will mean. By becoming incarnate, the Christ child will show strength with his arm, scatter the proud, bring down the powerful, lift up the lowly, fill the hungry, send the rich away empty, help Israel by remembering mercy and fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. Now we're talking. This is what a Savior does. This is what a Messiah that they have longed for does. This is what a king that they have needed since David would do. It is a preview of Jesus' life to come. All these things Jesus would do in time, but how could Mary know then and there? Don't hear anything from an angel telling her now. It's just as if she knows. Were these her words? Or was this one of the first acts of the Holy Spirit? You can imagine how Mary might not have liked to magnify the Lord when Gabriel left her house. Would you have? We'd like to think we would have, but if an angel shows up and tells us the thing, and we imagine all of the ramifications it would have in our life, there's a good chance that we might act not like Mary and run to Elizabeth, but like Jonah and run the other way. And think about Mary's particular situation. She was to be a single mother in a time that was much less sympathetic to single mothers. Her relationship with Joseph was very much going to become in jeopardy, if not destroyed, as well as that to her family and her community. And I don't know of any pregnant teenager who isn't afraid and worried, and who would believe her when she said the child was God's. That wasn't going to make everything okay. That was going to make things a lot worse. People would think that she was lying or that she was crazy at best. And at worst, they would think that she was blasphemous, and there were very, very strict punishments for that. Perhaps she ran to Elizabeth to ask what to do and was so shocked that Elizabeth knew and that she was so affirming and so loving and so welcoming, and maybe that is what filled her with joy more than anything else. Elizabeth believed her before she said anything. Elizabeth alleviated any fear of being ostracized by welcoming her. With one greeting, Elizabeth confirmed to Mary what Gabriel had said was true and gave Mary the faith to know that God was most literally with her. once Mary believed the promise of God, her soul could not help but magnify the Lord. Once she believed that it was true and the Messiah was to be born and that she had a part to play in it, her soul could not help but magnify the Lord. Can yours? Can your soul help but magnify the Lord? Do you believe the promise of God and the promise that comes with the Christ child? Any uncertainty on Mary's part can be understood. We think of her now as this woman of great faith, but certainly in that moment, at that time, we cannot hold it against her if she had any doubt or uncertainty or confusion. She didn't have the gospel story to know how things would turn out. Her people had waited for a Messiah for so long. They had been wrong many times. And who was she? Who was she to be the one to bring in the Messiah into the world? But we should know better. For we believe that God fulfilled his promise of Abraham and David by bringing the Christ child into the world. If God fulfilled that promise, why not others? And what does God promise? To save us from death, to redeem us from our sins, to bring peace on earth, to forgive us and one another, to wipe away every tear and dry every eye, to lift up the lowly, to be with us. What wonderful news. What good news, great news, amazing news. If we believe this, truly believe that God will do these things, God will save us and forgive us and be with us and know us and love us and welcome us into paradise, how can we, like Mary, but sing for joy? How can we do anything but magnify the Lord? But how often have we been so overcome with joy that our soul magnifies the Lord as Mary's did? What is it that keeps us from believing fully or living out completely what it is that we believe? Is it that we think our sins are too great? Let us remember that this child would go on to forgive Paul, who persecuted the church and was at the stoning of Stephen. Let us remember that he was on the cross and forgave those who mocked him and jeered him. Is it that we think that the world is too dark, too dangerous and scary a place? I don't know about you, but I would rather live today with all of its problems than in Jesus' time. And it's not even a hesitation on my part. It seems to me that the world was much darker then. Is it that we feel that we are too insignificant for God to care about even us? But who was Mary? We never heard from her before the story. They never tell us why she was chosen, and that's the point. Who was she? She was someone that God chose, and so are you. Never are we told of anything that made her so special that God can use her and us to do great things. As Advent marches on, as the candles get lit, as the lights grow brighter, as Christmas approaches, let us ask ourselves if we truly believe that God is with us and leading us through life and has overcome death so that he will lead us to eternal life, how can we do anything but magnify the Lord? How can we keep from singing his praises? It doesn't mean that we will know everything to expect in life, or that chaos and turmoil or pain or strife will not be thrown into our way. It will. It will still be a chaotic and messy and frustrating life and world at times, but if we truly believe that the Christ child is born, we will be expecting this Christmas, expecting to be filled with joy, expecting to be filled with hope, expecting that God will be with us. When we are, when we do, when we share that joy and that hope, when we share that comfort and that light, when we do that, then we magnify the Lord. Because it becomes more than just one light, more than just one hope. It becomes the light and the hope of the entire world. What would it take for us to magnify the Lord this Christmas? Of all the things that we ask God for this year, that is what God asks of us, to magnify the Lord, for our soul to sing with joy and praise, even if things are not always bright. Still, we have the light of Christ with us. What more do we need to magnify the Lord? Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life. and a cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 16 in the Child's Hymnal, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. As I said, one of the things, the first things I do for decorations is to put my lights up, and I put up some lights. I put lights up on the front of my house, but I also put some in the back, just on the railing of my deck. And it's actually kind of silly that I did that, because once we get the Christmas tree up, which is about maybe a week after we put the lights up, I can't see my deck anymore. So I really don't get to see those lights. And my wife thought that was odd. She asked me why I did that. Well, there's some people in my neighborhood who I've never met, but I can see their house from my window in my kitchen. And they get their lights up pretty early, and they have a nice display. And whenever I go to my kitchen window, I see their lights, and I think it's pretty nice, and I'm grateful for that. And so I put the lights up on my deck, because I'd like to think that at some point they go to their kitchen or their living room window, and they can see my lights, and it makes them a little happier or makes their night a little brighter. When you think about it, we don't really get to see our Christmas lights that often. Most of the lights I have are in the front of my house, and I see them when I come home, and I see them when I go outside to turn them off, and then when I'm in my living room, I can see like three of the icicle lights from my window, and that's about all the lights I get to see. The rest of the lights are being seen by people driving by or my neighbors, and then I get to see their lights too. And I think that is a very nice, special thing about this time of year, that we do a lot of things for others, and one of the things we do are the lights. And because I put some up, and you put some up, and your neighbor puts some up, then one by one, the world becomes brighter and more beautiful, because we are not afraid to share the lights that we have. And as we come to this table, we must also not be afraid to share the light that Christ has given us. Because we're all here because somebody along the way shared the light of Christ with you. Maybe it was your mother or father. Maybe it was your brother or your sister. Maybe it was some total stranger. Or maybe it was another member of this church. But somebody had the light of Christ with them and did not keep it to themselves, but instead showed it to you, that you had it also. And so we come into this brightly lit sanctuary to bathe in his light for a while, and to be renewed and to be
re-energized by it. But then we are sent out. Not to put the light away, not to hide it, but to share it with others. Because the light that we have is not our own. And the light that we have is given to us only that we may share it with others as well. And now this morning, let us pray.
Father, I thank you once again for meeting us here at this communion table to partake of the bread and the cup. We are all in preparation mode. We're cooking, we're cleaning, we're baking, we're shopping, and we're stressed. Yet, Lord, we are also preparing for the Christ child that offers us peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray as Christmas comes that we will open our hearts and our souls and that we too will be preparing for the Christ child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
entire community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to Christ, or transfer into the fellowship with this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, Go Tell It on the Mountain, verse 1 and refrain. Let us stand as we sing. Bow our heads for the benediction. Let's take a moment to show our appreciation for Madison sharing her gift of music with us today. And now let us bow our heads. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. May the Christ of hope clothe you in the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. May the Spirit of joy turn your weeping into laughter. Your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.